This morning, at about 5 o'clock, 11 youth and 3 adults and parents gathered together. And yes, I was with them. I know that may amaze some of you because you know I'm not a morning person. But I did come and be with them that we could send them off with prayer. Our youth are going on a mission trip to North Carolina. I asked them to wave at the North Carolina sign when they entered the state. And then I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. I told them to go save the heathens because I didn't do a very good job of it. They left shortly after 5:30 and they took off in 2 vans. I laughed last night because Sam was asking something on Facebook. It was about a video that she had seen earlier about how to pack efficiently in just a small case. Apparently, Luke was trying to pack, and I don't think he was having much success. It was funny because I knew what video she was talking about, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember where I saw it either. Well, the vans, when they pulled out this morning, had 2 carriers on the top that were stuffed full. Behind the seats were bags piled up. And even in some of the stowaway places in the vans, things were tucked. Wow. These disciples didn't listen to what Jesus told them to do, did they? In today's story, Jesus sends out the 12, 2 by 2, to begin their mission work and their own ministry in Jesus' name. And they go out in Jesus' name with the same message that Jesus had very early in the Gospel of Mark. And that message was repent and believe the good news. Jesus gives a list of what they're to take with them. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread. I can tell you there were snacks in those vans. No bag. There were plenty of bags. No money in your belts. I'm praying they've got enough money. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Well, some are wearing flip-flops, so I guess that counts. What Jesus is describing to them tells us that he wants them to go out and to trust God for all of their provisions. Jesus wants to send them out in such a way that they will be focused on certain things. They have to go out, and it's about going out giving and not about going out and getting for themselves. William Barclay shares this information. It was the rabbinic law that when a man entered the temple courts, he must put off his staff and shoes and money. All ordinary things were to be set aside on entering the sacred place. It may well be that Jesus was thinking of this and that he meant his men to see the humble homes they were to enter were every bit as sacred as the temple courts. When we go out to visit people, whether they're church members, neighbors, or friends, maybe it's someone we don't even know, we're called to enter into their space, their home, and treat it as if it is a sacred temple. Wow. Can you imagine what some of our visitation would be like if we truly did that? If we didn't go into someone's home to talk to them about Jesus, but on the way in we notice that there's dishes in the sink and maybe the dusting hasn't been done and the laundry hasn't been folded and before we even try to share the good news of Jesus' gospel, many of us in our humanity would start saying, "Wow, they're not very neat." We'd start judging, wouldn't we? Not all the time, but I think if we're honest with ourselves, that can happen. But Jesus says, no, when you go into that home, treat it as a sacred place, just as you would treat going into the temple. Sometimes I wonder, when we have visitors who come here to be with us, if they see us treating our home, our space, as a sacred temple, and if they're being welcomed into it. Another law that was in the East was that hospitality was a sacred duty. When a stranger entered a village, it was not his duty to search out for a place to stay or to search out hospitality. It was the duty of the village to offer it. It was the duty of the village to offer it. I'm hoping that our youth and the adults with them will find a place of hospitality and that it'll be offered freely to them this week. Actually, this evening, we have a group coming from Ohio of young people who will be with us for the week. They'll be staying in our Family Life Center and using our church as a home base. I hope that we can offer hospitality to them in very real and open ways. They shouldn't be the ones coming to offer hospitality to us. And yet I know in the past when this group has come, they have done that. I was made aware that 4 years ago when Pastor Abel moved into the parsonage, that group was here. And a group of the youth went over to help him move in. Wow. That's visitors offering hospitality to us. It's interesting. Jesus said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if a place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." We might not exactly know what that meant in Jesus' day, but I'd like to share a little information about that. You see, when someone from a foreign country or a foreign land or someone who is a Gentile entered in to the place where Jews were, they were to shake off all the dust off their sandals and their feet before entering into the holy space, whether it was their home, their village, or their temple. They did not want anyone who would be unclean to be there. Well, how do we shake dust off our feet? If we go and visit in someone's home, oftentimes we want to tell them the good news, and that's what it's about, urgently telling the good news of Jesus Christ. And yet, how many times might you have visited someone and they just don't seem interested in hearing what you have to say? Jesus asks us to go and visit again, maybe even a third time. But his commands to his disciples were, if they will not hear you and will not listen to you, and they close their hearts to you, then leave. Shake the dust off your feet and go on. Shake off that which might have been unclean and go on. I know that that might sound like an instruction we shouldn't take. But my friends, people's hearts and minds have to be open to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we abandon them, but sometimes it means we have to move on to someone else who is more desperate to hear the word of God and more willing to listen than someone who is not. Does that mean we leave that person just out there someplace? No, it means we continue to pray for that person. But it might mean our energy needs to go on to the next who needs to hear that good news. Eugene Peterson, in The Message, writes this paragraph about Jesus sending out the 12 in this way. Jesus called the 12 to him and sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority and power to deal with the evil opposition. He sent them off with these instructions. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. No special appeals for funds. Keep it simple. And no luxury inns. I know the youth are sleeping on the floor at a church, so I think we're okay there. Get a modest place and be content there until you leave. If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. Then they were on the road. They preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Right and left, they sent the demons packing. They brought wellness to the sick, anointing their bodies and healing their spirits. What captured me in his paraphrase was, don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. You and I are the carrier of the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't need much of anything else. We need a heart for the Lord, a passion to serve him, a burning desire to share with others. And we need to trust in God and the Holy Spirit that where God sends us is the place we are to go. Wow. How many of you are willing just to take yourself just as you are and go out into the highways and byways in your neighborhoods and know that you are the instrument of God and that God has prepared you, if your heart has been right, to tell others about what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life? Sounds scary a little bit. But really what that involves, oftentimes we tell you to go do that, but we don't tell you how. So I want to give you a couple clues. some insights. Mary Grace Reese actually is the one who shared a lot of this in our studies. You go to others and simply tell your faith life story. Just the way you would tell a story around a campfire. Just being who you are and being honest. I've had the privilege of meeting Pastor Kevin, and I've had the privilege of engaging with him in two ways. One of the first things that Pastor Kevin asked me was, "Tell me your life journey. Where's your faith taken you?" And then the other day, I had the chance to say to him, "Pastor Kevin, tell me about your life journey. Where has your faith taken you?" And we shared stories of our growing up, of our formative years, of people who were mentors to us, of experiences that we had that were those aha moments when we knew God was saying something special to us. We shared some of our struggles when it wasn't so easy. And you know what we both discovered? God uses even us, even you, to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. No special words, no special phrases. Just share who you are with someone else. Jesus sent them out two by two, and there was a reason for that. The reason for that was so that one could build up the other if they needed support, and one could also share with the people they were talking to that what this person is telling you is true. My friends, we are called ourselves to be disciples, being sent forth, just like Jesus sent these disciples out. And a mark of the Christian disciple that you and I can be, those marks are a sense of joyful urgency to share the good news in Jesus' name. Those marks include simplicity in going and telling who you are and what your story has been. A mark of Christian discipleship is putting your complete trust in God. And a mark of Christian discipleship is being generous. Going to give and share and expecting absolutely nothing in return. We're at a transition time, as we all have known. Pastor Kevin will be here next Sunday for his first Sunday. And I would pray during this transition time that each one of us could look at our own life and our own walk, that we might be bold in sharing who we are, where we need to go, how God is calling us individually and collectively to bring his kingdom here in Springville. Thanks be to God that he's created us for his glory. Let us pray. Holy God, Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and hearts open to your Spirit, that we will be willing to go where you send us, and that we will have confidence in knowing that through your Holy Spirit, you are going with us. Make us strong in our conviction. Make us gentle in our words. Open our hearts that we might see others' needs. Lead us, Lord. Lead us in your way, for we ask it in your name. Amen.